just going to continue from where we stopped on Thursday. And on Thursday, we were looking at the solution is in the problem, and we're looking at the case study of Abraham when God called him to go and sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. We're taking all of our teachings today from Genesis chapter 22, and I'm just going to read again just to do a recap of what we did on Thursday. If you are not here on Thursday, I would advise that you go on and watch it. We had a lovely session where we talked about Abraham, when God tempted him to go and sacrifice his son. And we also talked about when Moses got to the Red Sea and the solution for crossing the Red Sea, how God showed Moses that the solution was in the rod that was already in his hands. I would advise that we all go back and listen to that message again. It was a very lovely time in the presence of God, sharing the word of God on Thursday. I'm just going to read the first two verses for those that were not around so that we can get like a foundation for what we're talking about. And I'm going to quickly summarize what we talked about on Thursday. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That's Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 2. Some of the things that we talked about on Thursday, we talked about the fact that trials and temptations, the examinations of life, would always come to us, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you've been obeying God or not, that trials will always come. We looked at what happened to to Abraham just before chapter 22. We looked at chapter 21. He's just had peace with his neighbors. He has just had the son of promise after over two decades. And he has just sent away Hagar and Ishmael. And you would imagine that he's right in God's will. He's doing exactly what God has told him to do. But suddenly in chapter 22, the Bible makes us to understand that God tempted him. That means the temptation can come at any time. And it doesn't really mean that you're doing anything wrong. Sometimes when we have temptations, we think maybe we have done something wrong, or maybe it's because of a mistake that we've made. Sometimes it's just God trying to take us to a new level and to a new stage in that walk with him. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 was very instructive. And it talked about the fact that any temptation that we go to, that it's not uncommon to man, but that God is faithful and he will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able, but he would always make a way of escape so that we can bear every temptation. The second thing we talked about on Thursday was the fact that Abraham completely obeyed God. Abraham obeyed God without any questions. Abraham knew the workings of God. Number one, for you to be able to obey God, you have to understand that it's God that is speaking to you. And because Abraham had already had a record over the previous chapters of speaking to God, he knew that God was talking to him and he obeyed immediately. The Bible makes us to understand in verse 3 that he set out early in the morning. He set out early in the morning with all that he needed for that sacrifice, and he obeyed God. And one of the key things that I saw was that the journey to obeying God took him 3 days before he saw the mountain that God was going to show him. That means sometimes the period of the trial can take a while. And it's in those periods, he did not miss a beat. He kept on moving, because if you look at it, it was 3 days of tiring, walking and sleeping in discomfort. They will have to sleep wherever they find themselves. And they continued on that journey. It was a journey to obedience. And it took him a while. It took him out of his place of comfort, but he stayed there and he obeyed God. The next point that we had was he was calm and attentive. The Bible makes us understand that in verse 2. He said that you go and make an offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell you. That means God expects us to be attentive even when we are going through a place of trial. God is our refuge and our strength. Is a present help in the time of trouble. We need to be able to cast all our fears, all our burden, all our struggles onto him and make sure that we are attentive to his word. The other points we talked about was his speech was seasoned with grace. Throughout the time when Abraham was going through this problem, we saw in the word when Isaac asked him, he said, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And one thing that Abraham said was the Lord will provide for himself a lamb. He spoke in faith. He spoke the word of God, and his heart was rest assured on God. He was rest assured on the promises of God. He had walked with God and he knew God. And then the next point we talked about is the fact that he built an altar. When he got to the place where God had shown him, he set apart the people that were, he had two of his men that were walking with him. He told them to wait for him. And then he went ahead on his own with this, with the son, to go and build an altar unto God. An altar is a place of relationship. It's a place of worship. It's a place of communication to God. Now, when we have issues, do we build an altar to that issue? Do we worship that issue? Do we talk about it all the time? Or do we set an altar unto God? An altar is a place of personal relationship with God. It's a place where we give all to God. Are we able to set apart ourselves from every other person around us and stay alone in a place of relationship with God? Another point that we pointed out, another point from Thursday, we talked about the fact that Abraham, he laid up his son on the altar after he had already built the altar. And he offered him totally. In his mind, he was going to just sacrifice him to God, believing God. I mean, Hebrews 11, 17 said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Even though he didn't end up sacrificing Isaac as it were, but in his heart, in his mind, he was going to. He completely gave it. Now, is there something in our lives that we are holding on to tightly, that we are not willing to give unto God? Now, God is asking for something, is asking us, even in this season, that everything that we have, he gave to us. Are we able to give it back to God? Isaac was a promise from God. And Abraham was able to understand that the one that promised is able to restore back the promise, even if he asks for it as a sacrifice. And then the final point that we had, second to the last point that we had, was a living sacrifice. We talked about how Isaac was on that altar. And we talked about the fact that Isaac was a young child, Abraham was old, and Isaac would have struggled and fought to leave the altar. But Isaac laid there. And the Bible made us to understand that Abraham was about to use the knife to cut the child when the angel of the Lord stopped him. And then we likened that to a life of a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1 talked about the fact that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. And then the last point that we had was, after all of this was done, we saw God, the Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides, because Abraham lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes even in that situation after the angel stopped him, and he saw a ram that was caught in place. We learned the fact that the ram got there before Abraham got there. That the ram, the provision for that sacrifice was already on the mountain ahead of time before Abraham got to that mountain. Oh, we need to, in the application of that, we saw that even Moses' rod was in his hands before he got to the Red Sea. And we knew that even the stones that stoned Goliath were by the riverbed, even before David got to the riverbed. And the sword that would kill Goliath, David didn't have to take it with him. He was there with Goliath on the battlefield. We have to be able to trust God, to be able to lift our eyes. Lifting our eyes is a sign of hope. Lifting our eyes shows that we are expectant of something from God. Lifting our eyes speaks of faith. We trusting God totally and expecting him to do something. And the final point is, every trial and temptation will come to an end. And each trial that we face is designed to achieve a purpose. If there's a purpose that God has designed the current trial that we are going through for, and we do not meet the obligation of that trial, it may extend our trial. Or we need to understand that the ultimate goal of each trial is to be able to work patience in our hearts and to be able to make us to be able to come to a place of perfection. James chapter 1, verses 2-4 talks about that. And that's just a quick snapshot of what we talked about last week. But this week, we're going to go back into that Genesis 22, and we're going to look at verse 9. And we're going to dwell on one aspect, and I hope that God will be able to speak a word into our hearts. Verse 9, then they came to the place where God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, last week we talked about Jehovah Jireh, the God of provision. But one thing struck me in verse 9 here. He said, Abraham built the altar. He had a place of relationship. And he placed the wood in order. Here, the Bible was talking to us about a God of order. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says that let all things be done decently and in an orderly manner. We are a part of the kingdom of God, and in the kingdom, there's a kingdom order. God does not leave things chaotic. Oh, we read about the fact that learning from Abraham, that Abraham set out very early in the morning. He set out with everything that was needed for the sacrifice. And when he prepared it, he laid the wood in order. Talking about laying the wood in order. Laying the wood in order talks about us putting our lives in order. Obeying the principles of God. God has set the order for virtually every aspect of our lives. For relationship in the Bible, we'll find the order for relationship with people. We'll find the order for relationship between husband and wife, between children and parents. We'll find an order for sacrifice. In the New Testament, Jesus was talking about the fact that if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that you have a brother who has a hurt against you, that you should leave that gift at the altar. And then you go and make amends before you come to present the gift. That's an order for how you make a sacrifice. There's an order for the setup of the home. There's an order for our daily life. There's an order for justice. God has laid down the principles. But the question is, as Christians, do we follow the order of God? Do we follow the principles of God? We keep praying for the blessings of Abraham. But do we realize that Abraham did not only build an altar? He placed the wood in order. Sometimes we build an altar, we've done the stage one, we've had a place of communion with God, and then we want to place our sacrifice straight on without putting things in order. Oh, there's an order for living, which we find in the Bible. We know fully well that God is a God of order. We understand from Genesis chapter 1, when the whole of the earth was in a chaotic state, God puts order to life. He created the things that were in on earth, and he sets things, he set man to be in dominion over everything. Before he created the fish, he made sure that the sea was in place. Oh, he set apart the land before he created plants. And after he had created everything, he set man to be able to have dominion over it. If you look at the Bible, do you see God talk about, when God was talking to Abraham and cutting a covenant with Abraham, he talked about 400 years ahead of time. God made plans ahead of time. God set things in motion ahead of time. Nothing comes as a surprise to God because he has an order for it. The Bible makes us to understand that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. That's an order. If you don't draw near to God, God will not draw near to you. You have to take that first step. I mean, we can have different examples in the Bible as to what the order of the kingdom is. But the question is, do we follow the order of God? The order of the kingdom is about discipline. It's about changing our life to be in harmony with God so that we can know his ways, so that we can walk with him. Most people want the blessings of God without wanting to know his ways. And following the principles of God and learning from the word of God, allowing the light of God to shine into our darkness, brings order into our lives. As we saw on the mount where God provided the ram and he was able to sacrifice the ram, and then God made a covenant of blessing. Being in the kingdom order is a conduit to God's blessings in our lives. Following the order of God is my responsibility. It's not the responsibility of our parents. It's not the responsibility of the pastor. Following the principles of God, following the laid down precepts of God is our responsibility. He said, stop offering sacrifices on wood that is not laid in order. Don't bring a sacrifice when you have not put your life in order. For example, I mentioned in Matthew where Christ was talking about the when you bring your gifts to the altar. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, that hinders you to be able to offer a good, a perfect sacrifice to God. We looked at Cain when he offered the sacrifice to God. The Bible made us to understand that his heart was not right with God. Sometimes we come to God, we meet all the criteria, but what we do is we build the altar and we don't lay the wood in order. We build that place of communion, but we leave changing our hearts. We do not renew our hearts. We do not set our hearts to obey God completely. We take only aspects of the word of God and we obey God in parts, believing that if we obey maybe 5% of his word, maybe we might be able to have maybe mercy on us. But we understand that God is a God of order, is a just God, is a God that you have to come to, and you know that you would have a reward of everything that you do. There's a penalty for being out of order. Sometimes it may be delays in life, it may be delays in blessings. We need to be able to put everything that we do in order with God. I was having a chat with one of our brothers, and we're talking about order in our lives as Christians. We understand that sometimes we just run, we claim that we run life and we have faith, but it's not really faith. It's just an excuse for us to be able to do things without having to plan for it. Do we set a plan for our lives according to the plan of God for our lives? Do we do things in order? We saw here that Abraham set the wood in order, and the Bible made us to understand in that verse that he placed the sacrifice, which was Isaac, on the wood that he had already ordered. Are we placing our sacrifice on just anything? Are we setting up our lives without choosing to obey God? Are we not making plans for anything? If God has made a promise unto you for a job, for example, putting your wood in order might just be you making that CV and sending it out. If God has made a promise of blessings unto you, putting your wood in order might just be you trying to cut away from excesses that you spend money on. Because the Bible makes us to understand that there's seed for the sower and bread for the eater. That's the order when God blesses you. But do we eat everything, forgetting that there's seed for the sower even in the blessing? There's an order in the kingdom. Have we sought for the order? How did God say that a husband and wife should behave? It says, husband, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. That's the order of the kingdom. He says, children should obey their parents in the Lord. That's the order for the kingdom. Are we disobeying the will of God? Not taking time to put our wood in order and laying a sacrifice to God. Remember the verse in Matthew where Christ said that if you've not put that relationship with man, with your brother, if you've not put it in order, just keep your gifts at the altar and then make efforts to go and tidy up things with your brother before you come to present the gift on the altar. I want to charge us today to look into our lives. Where is there disorder or disorderliness in our lives? Where are we walking contrary to the will of God? Where have we gone against the plans of God in our lives? In this place, we understood that Abraham laid the wood in order and God accepted that final sacrifice that he made of that ram. And then God cut a covenant with him. I will charge us this week to put our lives in order. Is it in the financial aspects? There's an order in the Bible, in the kingdom of God, about how to deal with finances. Is it in our relationships? There's an order in the Bible, in the kingdom, as to how to deal with our relationships. Is it how we deal with governments? There is a biblical order for how to do that. Let's follow God's principles. Let's choose to obey God even in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So thank you, everyone, for listening today. I'm just going to hand back over to Uncle Ezekwe. He's going to continue with the rest of the service.
Wow, thank you so much, Father. We give you praise. We just worship you. Before we say a word of prayer, I don't know about you. I've just been making notes. And one of the things the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 31, talks about the wood offering. The wood offering without the wood, the altar would not be complete. Without the wood, the fire that the Lord is sending would just burn on the bricks. So the wood is necessary, and we are the ones to supply the wood. It is very, very important, because it ties in very well with what our brother shared and what God has said to us about bringing order in our lives. If we are to find the solution that God has placed for the problems we're going through, we need to put some things in order. You need to see, understand the relationship. The stone built according to the 12 tribes of Israel, the wood, the sacrifice, then the fire. God sends the fire. And once the fire hits the altar, the sweet smell of aroma goes to God. And when God smells it, he pours his blessing. So everything is connected to the other. We're praying for God to heal us. But we need to forgive people, because that is the order of God.